This is an AMI podcast. This is an AMI podcast.
I'm Dave Brown, and this is a podcast version of AMI's Morning Show, now with Dave Brown. Catch the live broadcasts weekdays from 9 to 11 a.m. Eastern on AMI Audio and AMI TV. Welcome back. It's the Now News panel on AMI. I'm Dave Brown alongside Judy Gupta and Michelle McQuigg. We've got one more topic for you to drink in. The Newfoundland and Labrador government unveiled its plan to tax sugary drinks this past Tuesday. Finance Minister Siobhan Cody says the tax will hike prices on drinks with added sugars by 20 cents a litre beginning in 2022. The government expects to bring in roughly $9 million a year. The tax will apply to beverages containing added sweeteners like sugar, corn syrup, fructose, and agave nectar. Alcoholic beverages will be excluded. They're already subject to extra taxation. Chocolate milk is also exempt, as are diet drinks containing artificial sweeteners, infant formulas, yogurt drinks, and meal replacement beverages. Michelle, you want us to break this down. Where do you think we should go?
Well, there's a bunch of places we could go with this, but I'm brought back to a topic that we've batted around on the panel before Joita was able to join us, I believe. Dave, you've a couple times raised the issue of taxing vice, and we've talked about more concrete examples.
I love like vice and I love government revenue.
Right? Together at last. But yeah, we've talked about it in the context primarily of tobacco, of cannabis, of alcohol, of things that are more concretely considered vice. This is a different situation in that, yes, I think we can all agree sugar is a vice to some degree, but this particular one is being framed on health rationale, which I guess some of the other ones are too, now that I think about it in terms of tobacco. But they're saying that taxing consumers, putting the extra tax at the consumer level will hopefully deter people from making unhealthy choices at the store and buying drinks that don't have all this added sugar. There's a lot to potentially dive into. I think that the issue of potentially taxing this vice, whether doing it this way is the way to go about it, having it dependent down at the consumer level, is 20 cents a liter going to really alter people's decisions very much, do you think? I'm happy to sort of bounce the ball over, but I think there's a few strands we can pull on here.
Absolutely. Well, let's start at the broad level. And Joita, I'll give you the opportunity here. Just that, broadly speaking, before we get into some of the exemptions and some of the real grains of this, does it make sense to tax sugar-enhanced drinks?
Can I just take a second to acknowledge all the great puns we've been hearing so far?
I try.
They're pretty sweet.
Oh, Michelle, you see? You took it. You took the crown right there.
But to your point, I don't think that sugar is a vice. I think sugar is ubiquitous, and we have to recognize that. I was looking at a study that says that at least 3/4 of all processed food contains sugar. It's all over the place. And the thing we need to realize about sugar is that it has no nutritional value. It's highly addictive. And quite frankly, it's a public health nuisance. So do I think that taxing sugary drinks is a good first step? Absolutely. But I will go so far as to say I'm happy to, you know, pick this hill to die on. I think we should go much further and maybe look at imposing taxes on other products that have added sugar. It will at the very least serve as a disincentive for people to buy these things. But it will also raise a public conversation, because if you look at a place like Newfoundland and Labrador, where this legislation has been put in place, half the population over the age of 12 has long-term illnesses. And, you know, sometimes there are comorbidities. In fact, there's a large percentage of that population that has comorbidities. This is a massive public health issue because of the ubiquitous nature of sugar. It is in absolutely everything.
Yeah, I think it does make sense to tax sugary drinks. I think in general, it makes some sense to tax things that are unhealthy and poor for you. And I do agree with Joita that sugar is extremely ubiquitous outside of just sugary drinks, processed foods like processed white bread, processed cheese, things where you might not necessarily think of them as necessarily sugar. There is sugar everywhere. So I agree with Joita. I think this is just maybe one step in the direction of a broader conversation about healthy food. And I think that's maybe where I want to take the conversation is in regard to some of these exemptions. For example, things like yogurt-based drinks, chocolate milk. Part of me can't help but think a little tiny bit, Michelle, that the Canadian dairy industry was given a little bit of a free pass on this one.
It's certainly a good question, and my eyebrows were raised by some of those too. Also, infant formula, that seems like a troubling one to me. If you're going to implement this policy on health grounds, it would seem to make sense to try and implement this kind of measure and have a disincentive to introducing sugar into a kid's life as early as possible. So I was a bit surprised by that exemption. There's also so much further this kind of thing could go. And I can just picture on either side whether how people are going to frame this, whether it's opponents of the tax saying, well, where do you stop? Do you now start taxing fast food, coffee shops for a lot of their products, pastries, any of these things? And I can see people who might take that exact same question and say, yeah, tax all those things for the reasons that you and Joita have laid out. And I'll add my voice to that because and this is coming from a bit of a personal place. Sugar is ubiquitous, but can also be a vice because of its ubiquity. And it is a real struggle for a lot of people. I wonder, though, about equity issues, because, I mean, for me, my only way to tackle this for myself was to give up processed food almost entirely. That's the only way I was able to do anything positive for my health. And that's not necessarily an easy thing to do, especially in a province with a lot of economic uncertainties, a lot of disparity between aspects of the population, but anywhere really. Food access and food equity is a real thing, and introducing these additional taxes, I don't know is necessarily the way to bear that in mind and address that.
Yeah, there are a lot of parts of Newfoundland and Labrador that are quite remote, that are dealing with things like boil water advisories, that are dealing with significant food insecurity. But those, in a sense, are broadly speaking, different, right? They're different issues. Those are issues the government should be tackling head on, that something like a sugar tax shouldn't necessarily be trotted about as a whataboutism. But I do think it is important to think about sort of the cost of things, right? What water costs versus a 2-liter bottle of pop. So for example, a 2-liter bottle of pop, when you get that on sale at certain big brand stores, you can get those for under a dollar, right? So when we're talking about adding 20 cents per liter, we're now talking about a 50% price increase on that 2-liter bottle of pop. So that is significant when you are talking about individuals dealing with food insecurity. But again, I think we need to be talking more broadly about helping individuals with food insecurity. That isn't to say pop is your only option. Joita, I know that kind of sounds like an obvious statement, but I don't know. Is there something to that?
If you don't mind, I just want to sink my teeth into the food security issue a little bit, because I've been thinking about the relationship quite a bit. If this tax were to come into effect, it would raise about $9 million in tax revenue annually. I think that revenue can be taken and funneled into a subsidy on fresh vegetables and fruit, on whole grains. Those are things that are missing from our diet. And I think that the reason pop is the only option for a lot of people, especially poor people, anyone who's on a fixed income, is because it is so darn cheap. And the healthy food, whole foods, are not as cheap, especially in a place like Newfoundland and Labrador, where they don't have, I believe, a lot of independent agriculture, and they're importing a lot of their food. I was thinking about this because way before the pandemic, now seems like forever ago, my last trip with my husband was to Newfoundland and Labrador, and definitely you get a lot of great fish, I'll give you that, but you don't see a lot of fruit and vegetables, and I think that's the conversation that we need to be having, is why are people turning to these sugary drinks? Because A, they're available, and B, they're cheap. And so there is this related but important argument to be made around addressing food security issues in a province like Newfoundland and elsewhere. Even in a place like Toronto, we have food deserts, but that's a whole separate conversation.
But it is a huge, huge important topic, and it's one that we cannot disregard. And Joita, I like what you're identifying there in regards to a subsidy. Taxation with a purpose, right? Besides just being a deterrent, saying, oh yeah, don't drink this stuff, we're going to make it more expensive for you to do it. Where is that money going, as opposed to broadly saying, oh yeah, it's going to be for the healthcare system, as opposed to perhaps saying, how can we use this new revenue that we're generating for a broader good purpose, which, as you maybe identified, was how can we subsidize things like fresh water, bottled water, it's a whole new controversy, but fresh water, whole grains, fruits and vegetables. You know, when Colorado was the first United States state to legalize cannabis, they said the entire purpose of that legalization, 100% of the tax revenue was going to go into the schooling system. And that got a lot of people on board with it. So Michelle, when we start thinking about the application of vice taxes, should there perhaps be a positive impact beyond just being a deterrent? Should there be a purpose with that that taxation.
I think so, yes. I think that would not only encourage buy-in, like you said, but just it adds to a greater sense of government transparency in explaining these things. There's a lot of natural aversion. Some people hear the word tax and instinctively go, nope, I'm not interested, regardless of what the issue is. So I think having some plans in place, and I have to admit that was something I was looking for from the Newfoundland announcement, was some concrete plan on how that $9 million would be spent. So having people disclosing that would, I think, offer more incentives, but also be a better step towards political transparency, which I think we can all agree we could use more of.
Michelle, I want to wrap this up on a little bit of a journalism nerd note
in regards
to attribution, because you rightly identified something that immediately came into my mind when I was reading articles about this week. Newfoundland becomes the first part of Canada to introduce sugar tax. And I'm like, nah, man, we talked about this in British Columbia like 18 months ago. So, Michelle, let's take just a moment to talk about attribution and maybe some of the dangers when you take the words right out of the minister's mouth.
I have to give some credit to my colleague, Sarah, who's our Newfoundland correspondent.
Yeah, did a wicked job. Wicked job in the article.
She really did. She was very keen. Like, Newfoundland is introducing what its government is describing as blah, blah, blah. I think it's very to maintain that framing and just be very transparent about the fact that there have been different approaches taken to taxing sugary beverages all around the world, for sure. But BC did introduce one. I don't have all the details directly in front of me. They're definitely going after pops. It's not as comprehensive a tax as the one introduced in Newfoundland, but it is currently in place. So Newfoundland is not the first jurisdiction to go there, period. But I think they probably are among the first to go there to the degree that they are. That said, the model they've adopted is a bit of an interesting one in that they're taxing the consumer.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas elsewhere, I believe BC is among them, the tax is applied at the industry level and at the production level. So it's not put on the consumers. So that's an interesting approach as well, and another one worth discussing when we have more time.
Right, and that's what the United Kingdom has done as well, putting it onto the manufacturing lines, and what they've seen is a 30% decrease in the amount of sugars and other sweeteners being added to their drinks. So it's definitely taking a different approach in the way in which things are manufactured. Michelle, you mentioned the word time. We are flat out of it, so we've got to put a cap on this conversation. Joita, you enjoy your weekends. Michelle, you're back to work this weekend as well. Hope it goes well, and we'll talk to you on Monday.
Thanks so much. Take care.
Joita Gupta is the host of The Pulse on AMI Audio, and Michelle McQuigg is the weekend news editor at the Canadian Press. After the break, we'll get to the regional news update. This is Now with Dave Brown on AMI. You've been listening to Now with Dave Brown. Hit the subscribe button on any podcast platform and leave us a rating and a review.